Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm so glad to see you, even behind those beautiful masks. I know it's a bit cold and dreary and weary outside, and I know that this isn't the scenario that any of us would have desired for Christmas as we began this year. Here we are. In a most unique year, celebrating the birth of our Savior. And you know what? He's just as much alive today as he was last year and will be next year. And we can celebrate him just as much today as we have done in the past, and hopefully that we will do in the future. And that's why I thought it would be good for us, since we've been studying the book of Revelation, to think about Christmas from heaven's perspective. To see Christmas today as the angels see it. Yes, there's a lot of things that angels don't have to deal with that we do, and angels aren't affected by COVID. They're rejoicing in the heavens today as much as they ever have been, and they are with us today celebrating the birth of our Savior just like we are. These angels today are reminding us what Christmas is all about. And I'm glad that we can call upon the angels this morning to help us to understand the meaning of the year. So we've heard already of the first two visitations of an angel. As Christ was ready to be born, the first angel met old Zechariah as he was serving in the temple. And then the angel Gabriel also came and met the young virgin named Mary as she was serving and staying in the area of Nazareth. And now we're going to see the angel who visited Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary. And there's several things that we need to understand about Joseph. First of all, he was yet to be married to Mary. He was betrothed to her. So the two had not yet come together as husband and wife. The second thing that you have to understand about Joseph is that he is from the royal lineage of King David from the tribe of Judah, a distant yet grandchild of the great king. And third, this young man was a law-abiding man. He was righteous and he feared the Lord. So what would an energetic and inspiring young man from David's lineage do when he found out the woman that he was betrothed to marry had become pregnant? Well, let's hear from Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, we know the story. We know that Mary had kept her purity, that she had prepared herself for marriage to Joseph. It was Mary, as she was betrothed to Joseph, that became interrupted by the angel who declared to Mary this incredible news that before she was married and had time to spend with her husband, she would become pregnant. But her pregnancy would be one conceived by God himself, by God's Spirit. And so here is Mary, who has been blessed with and is carrying the most precious of all babies. And she hears the news of her conception. Well, then she's got to tell Joseph, her, as we would call him, the fiancé, but betrothal was a little bit more than that. It literally was a legally binding engagement. And so Mary then would have to tell him that she was pregnant. And when Joseph found out, him being a law-abiding man, him being a righteous young man, he immediately began to think about Jewish law and custom. The law, as is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, would have Joseph drag Mary out into public and declare that she had committed a sin against him, to which at that point in time, according to the law, she could have been stoned. And at times, this practice was still seen. And Joseph knew that to be law-abiding would mean that he must shame the very woman that he was betrothed to. And he wrestled with this. And he struggled with it. How can I still love this woman and publicly shame her? He thought, and he wasn't quite sure what to do. And yet there was another option that he realized, that he could just simply quickly and quietly sign a writ of divorce and hand it to her and tell her, now you're free to go and you must leave me. To which they would both go their own ways and quietly suffer apart from one another. I was trying to imagine this conversation. Here's Joseph and Mary, and most likely they had heard some news that they've got to travel now to the place of their origin, Joseph's origin in Bethlehem, because of the census that was being taken place, and all of this was happening, and Mary, knowing now that she was pregnant, she had to in some way explain this to her betrothed, and so here they are in their little place in Nazareth, and Mary shows up and says, "Hey, Joe, I have got some incredible news to share with you, but you're not going to believe this." To which Joseph says, "What is it, honey? I'm sure I'll believe anything that you tell me, my dear." "Well, here it is. I'm pregnant. But I haven't slept with anybody. No, as a matter of fact, this is God's doing, and I'm with child, and I'm not sure I quite understand this, but I think that I might be bearing the Messiah in my womb." Long pause. And Joseph's thinking, you know what? I don't believe that. What is he to think? And what is he to do? Have you ever received news that changes your life the moment that you hear it? That's happened to me on several occasions. Things are just going normally, and all of a sudden you get an email, you get a phone call, you get a letter, and you get news. You go visit the doctor, and later the doctor calls you, and there's news. And the news changes your life quickly and forever. I'm guessing at some point in time that we've all experienced this, and that we've all experienced some bad news that's come upon us quickly and has changed our world. Well, the first thought that Joseph had was, this is bad news. This is horrible news. You're pregnant? Who was it? How did this happen? And Joseph began to wrestle with this, and to the best that he could, he thought, well, the best thing for me to do, not to publicly disgrace Mary, is just simply to just write a letter. I divorce you. You got to leave. But in a world of really bad news, as we know from the scripture, at times God will bring us good news. And in the Christmas story, God tended to bring the good news by way of angels. And this is exactly what happened to Joseph. Let me continue reading in verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. Now, if you're Joseph, you're struggling to sleep that night, trying to wrestle through what you're going to do. Finally, he said, well, I guess I'm just going to have to divorce her. And then at some point in time, in his weariness, he dozed off. He wanted to make it right by Mary, but he just simply didn't know how. And then as he was sleeping, this angel appears to him in his dream. Now, the thing that we've learned about angels, both in our study in Revelation and even here this morning, is that angels always tell the truth. There's never any fake news when it comes to angels. They are messengers of God, and since God is true, then anything that they have to share is true. And it's always important when angels declare good truth, good news, that we pay attention. And sure enough, as Joseph dozed off, the angel appears to him and tells Joseph that Mary now was to be a most important vessel, mother of the Christ child. That Mary now is going to be used to bring God to humanity. It would be Mary that would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that Emmanuel is finally coming. God would be with us. What a dream. Now, whether or not Joseph was going to wake up and just shake this off as a crazy dream or not, well, we know that he didn't. I was thinking of the Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge is having these visitations at night. And as he dozes off, the first person to visit him is the old ghost of his old friend named Marley. And Marley is rattling around the chains, and Scrooge is saying, what are those chains? He says, well, these are the things that I've done in this world, in this life. Basically, my sins, my selfishness, my lack of care, and now I forge these chains link by link, and I have to wear these around now forever. And then he warns Scrooge, you're gonna have more chains than I do. And then Scrooge sort of wakes up from his dream, and he starts to contemplate, what was all of that? And immediately he discounts it. He says, that wasn't real. It was simply indigestion. It was the beef that I'm still digesting. He's trying to rationalize what just had happened, and he says, no, this is more about the gravy that I ate than the grave. But as you know the story, eventually these visitations at night finally got Scrooge's attention. Well, the angel got Joseph's attention. And he said to Joseph that all that is taking place right now, Joseph, with Mary, is imperative. It must happen because the scriptures must be fulfilled. The angel was telling good news to Joseph. Finally, the long-awaited Messiah was coming. Finally, God would be with us. God is with us. That's really what Christmas is all about. Even now, God is with us. Some of you are still home and you're isolated, and I can imagine you're struggling. Well, God's with us. Many of you are not going to be able to visit family as you had hoped this Christmas season. God is with us. All of the disappointments in 2020 and all of the pressures of this year and all of the distresses this year, God is with us. Some might be saying, why? How can that be? If God is with us, why are things so difficult? Well, friends, the reason is that God wants to meet us in our trials. He doesn't want to remove all of them. Sometimes he just wants to meet us right there in the midst of them. But if God is with us, can't we avoid difficulty and heartache? Well, unfortunately, friends, no. Because just as Jesus entered into a sinful world, we still live in one. We still sin. And there's still sin all around us. There's corruption. There's death. As long as that remains, until our Savior returns again, that it will be impossible for us to avoid difficulties and avoid heartache. But that doesn't neglect the fact that God is with us. Well, if God is with us, is it possible for my heart to ache and yet still be a person of faith? Yes. Yes. You can still hurt and have faith. And that's Christianity in 2020, by the way. We can still struggle and believe. We can still have trials and temptations. And yet remain faithful. God's with us. And for every person who has placed saving faith in Jesus, the Savior conceived by God's Spirit, born of that young virgin, God's promise to be with us remains true. And Matthew records when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name that the angel told him to give, the name Savior. They named him Jesus. So Joseph wakes up from his dream, and he has to make a decision. And he says, you know what, I'm not going to divorce Mary. And no matter what people think, no matter what public disgrace we might face, I'm going to believe what the angel told me. And I'm going to obey and care for her. He believed that what he heard while he was sleeping was good news. And then he and Mary began to ponder, what in the world was happening? At this point, they both understood that Mary was pregnant, but Mary had not been with a man. And if it's true that Mary had conceived by the power of God's Holy Spirit, if it's true that that Mary was now bearing the Messiah in her womb, that this child had no earthly father. Then they began to ponder, could this child be very God of very God, as well as very man of very man? And Joseph, he believed the good news. And he believed that God was coming to be with us. Joseph was compelled to believe this gospel and then to obey the angel's command. The thing I like about studying angels is that they always believe the truth and they always do what is true. It's a model for us. The angels believe the good news, do you? The angels then obeyed the good news, and so must we. I want to pray for us this morning. Father, thank you for the grace of Christmas. And no, none of us would have thought, and I'm guessing none of us would have even desired for this to be the experience of Christmas in 2020. And yet, here we are, and we believe. And Father, these are good reminders for us that it's not our circumstances that result in our joy. Our joy comes from Jesus Christ, who is just as alive and reigning on his throne in heaven today as he has been the entirety of our lives. Yes, we believe that the child that Mary gave birth to was also your son, our Savior. And Father, because of that, we know you're with us even though things are difficult this season. And we know that you're with us even though we have to deal with some discouragement and some heartache this season. And we know, Father, that we're able to embrace the challenges but remain faithful. And Father, I pray, be pleased with our faithfulness. We commit to you that we are still going to worship you this season. We are still going to love you and thank you for all of the gifts that you've given to us this season. And that as a church, we are still going to assemble, Father, the best that we can, because you're worthy of it. We still want to give you all of the honor and the glory and the praise that you and our Savior Jesus deserves. Father, this morning, we declare Jesus is being worthy. He's worthy. Despite the challenges and the weather and the pandemic and the economy and the struggles we face, our health, our future, Father, regardless of all of that, we declare that Jesus is worthy. And we give him the praise and the honor and the glory that he deserves. The only gift we need is the gift you've already given. And we receive that today, Father, I pray. If there's anyone here today who has yet to receive the free gift of salvation that came because of this virgin birth, that baby who died on a cross to redeem us, Father, I pray this Christmas in 2020 would be the best Christmas because they will receive salvation this time. And so, Father, save those who need to be saved. And for us, make us the overcomers that Christ came to deliver. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.